Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Thank you very much. I like the build-up. I'm terribly grateful to Naomi because am I sort of talking into the right bit? Because I feel that she has legitimated we slightly older people regressing and behaving badly. I felt my heart sinking, as I was saying to my friend on the back row this morning, in what was a very grown-up conversation about a bureaucratic, crazy organisational world that I am not going to have to be a children's centre manager in. My background is in originally social work, teaching, research, including 7 years before the mast on the national evaluation of Sure Start. And the things that I'm going to say about my particular chosen topic are informed by my current and recent work. Recent work with Fraction for Children, helping them look at how to measure outcomes in their children. If I'm shouting, wave, because I've got a foghorn voice without one of these. Helping Action for Children look at outcomes in their children's centres. And I am currently being asked to work with the London Borough, who volunteered to be part of the pilot on the dreaded payment by results. It's a London Borough with stonkingly high levels of deprivation and poverty. So I'm glad that we're now talking about absence of food, housing and all the things that I see on a day-to-day basis in this borough, and which have a massive impact on both the services that the people want, need, and indeed, and now an opportunity to slug off the word outcome, on the likelihood of outcomes being achieved. So I hope I've set the ground for being heretical. And as a researcher, I want to be heretical about the concept of outcome. I think researchers should ensure that they're part of the answer and not the problem. And as I, sorry to keep going on about age, but you did mention age, so I feel I can do that too. And as we become more mature, I increasingly wonder if in fact researchers haven't become a very big part of the problem for you, and indeed for the people who want to use your services, be they parents, carers, children, or whoever. I was listening to Clem Henriksen on the radio yesterday, who used the phrase excessive evaluation. I had, in advance of that, done my PowerPoint where I've talked about the outcome theology. And as an atheist, trust me, I'm not using the concept of outcome theology in a complimentary way. I feel that outcomes, whilst obviously a helpful way of organising your work so that you're working towards something useful, rather than as in the old days of social work, being seen to inculcate long-term dependency and at the end of it say, well, I don't know, I saw them for 10 years, nothing much changed. I get exactly what they should mean, but I also see increasingly what they mean today. And the fact that they are now linked inextricably to sinister developments like payment by results. And this is, I should have prefaced all of this by saying these are my views, not any of the people who have had the lunacy, or should I say the bravery, to commission my services when they've been looking at evaluation. So I think that we're dominated by a culture of outcome theology where it's virtually impossible to say anything without citing outcomes from, I have to say, a massive evidence base. It's not in my interest to say this, but if not another penny, and I'm sure Naomi would be in agreement, if not another penny was spent on research, I should say we, you, know so much. We have known what works for years and years and years. We don't need another treacherous Labour MP. I hope this isn't being recorded. I've just realised it probably is. yes, it is. But I've started and I have to continue. Being prepared to have his name put on the book of the very limited amount of random control trial evaluated parenting intervention programmes that are now legitimated as a menu for you to offer your parents. If you're living, wondering where the next good, thank you. If you're wondering where the next meal's coming from, you know, how you're going to survive when you've been evicted by the awful landlord, and I am talking about real cases happening in the here and now in East London, trust me, the idea of the mystique around whether it's been trialled, don't stop me. Anyway, I think I'm already going off. I can only allow myself a limited amount of runs. But you will see where that fits in my overhead. Again, it's like apple pie and motherhood. You can't really say you're not in favour of evidence-based practice. Well, I take beta blockers and a blood pressure tablet, probably just as well for all of you. You can see my volatility level. And I'm very happy to think that they've been RCT'd and da-da-da-da-da. Whether I want to apply the same notion of evidence-based practice to stressed, desperately poor and struggling parents, I'm not at all sure, which is not an argument for not evaluating things. But the concept of evidence-based practice has become synonymous, I think, with a very narrow notion of what works, and it very easily leaves out of the equation the views of the people who use services and the views of the people who deliver them. It's almost synonymous with RCTs. David Quinson, in a brilliant review of family support services that the previous Tory government commissioned, published back in 2004, talked about the tension between effectiveness and evidence. And actually, given that I'm not aware of an RCT on whether you need oxygen to breathe, it could be very tempting to go down the line of saying, do we really need it? Has it been RCT'd? So I just like Naomi was brave to question the concept of early intervention, encourage you to critique evidence-based practice and be confident in what you do know. The PRB, which is hidden in the anodyne term, fiscal trade-off between early and late intervention, imported lock, stock and barrel from American economists, or silverback gorillas, as Helen Roberts would call them. I like that phrase. I'd like to turn into one in my next life. I can see that payment by results may work very much more easily for some populations. Reoffending rates in American prisons is a very powerful influence from all of that. You can at least count if they've reoffended. Whether it fits easily alongside the complex, diverse services that you're all delivering, don't start me. And I think social impact bonds really is selling slabs of human misery. The more I listen to this government, I wonder if that is an overstatement of the problem. But that's what it is. It's selling bonds to people on the grounds that you'll be able to deliver magic outcomes. And then finally, because these are all interwoven unhelpfully in our outcome theology approach, the stress on interagency provision, which is a good thing, very clear in what people were saying about the difficulties of engaging health this morning, but it has big implications for measuring outcomes. You've got attribution issues. Are you going to fight, like over a carcass, I was going to say, you and the health visitor are going to fight about who engaged the family. Health frequently speak a completely different language. They certainly have a very different tradition and culture of what constitutes evidence. So I think there are some problems that need teasing out before overlooking the barriers that it can make for evaluation. How am I doing? Because I'm aware of... Right. No idea. No, I mean, I could rant and rave and be sectioned at the end of the day and have felt I'd had a rather nice afternoon. I just don't want to bore you all with my own particular form of bigotry, which I have managed to sustain. Naomi can confirm this over many, many years. Brilliant. I don't need 50 minutes. What I want... Probably. I feel very passionately about reclaiming the concept of outcome for day-to-day service delivery and workforce development. I am not at all enthused by it as merely something that goes on people's CVs and, as I say, appears in another handbook of what can be delivered. And I'm reassured, you will tell me if I've got this wrong, that the last Ofsted guidance that I looked at talked about encouraging centres to evaluate their performance in line with the centre's review process, including the system for performance monitoring by the local authority. So while I'm very sceptical about the concept of localism, and we know that Eric Pickles is economic with the truth, would be a tap way of putting it, I'm guessing that if you really want to pioneer your own ways of engaging with the task of evaluation, the writing is there in the small print in guidance to enable you to do it. I should say that the London Borough that I'm working with at the moment, just to reassure you, I'm talking about a context of good practice, because in their last 8 inspections, which I know is what counts in the last analysis, they get outstanding. So they're not some lunatic, maverick grouping. But they do seem to be confident in their judgment as to what the particular demographic challenges in that borough require them to do in terms of evaluating the dreaded word outcome. And I guess I worry that researchers have accidentally contributed to a disempowering of people who do know what they want to be doing. You, I'm talking about. And people who use services who do know what they need. So I do think we should push this to the limits and not just see it as a Naomi, who is much more of an ex-civil servant than I was ever allowed to be. I did try once, could I be seconded to the SSI for a year, and they all passed out and went very white. The answer was no. Obviously, it's got to be very cheap and it's got to be low cost. But most of all, it's got to be able to inform individual practice in a feedback loop in the here and now. Not reading some pompous tome that's been, you know, produced by somebody like me, or indeed Naomi. I don't mean Naomi in terms of a Shawstock book, but I mean by another at the end of the day. Both of us would feel passionately about that, that workers are not there to be a research sample for researchers, leave alone families. Needs to be compatible with all of your existing statutory requirements for data collection. And by that I mean sitting alongside the riskier bits of the system too, so that it's compatible with your child protection and other data collection. And it needs to sit alongside your local authority data sets. This I will have to get through very quickly, because obviously you can see what I would say here. I think people are terribly self-controlled this morning in talking about the policy context. I mean, I make no apologies for really loathing pretty much everything this government are doing. I had a sneaking regard for Tim Lawton, who they managed to swiftly sack, who was the children's minister. And I think it's very frightening that we now take for granted, or are encouraged to, the language of targeting and the tension between universal and selective services. We've almost, like lobsters being bored alive, apparently I don't eat them, you heat the water up very slowly, they don't notice. We have morphed quickly into thinking that public spending cuts mean that these things are inevitable. I don't think they are, but anyway. Targeting service access poses you with another challenge. And Shawstock started out with a much more targeted approach, and you could argue that we could make a virtue of that. High levels of community stress, and that's an understatement, I think, from poverty and lack of housing. Terrible danger of stigma and demonisation for vulnerable families, and you'll see that that leads me naturally into talking about the Troubled Families Programme. You realise the money for the Troubled Families Programme is coming out of money that's, you know, was traditionally going to you. I think it's, given that it's supposed to be about localism, it's a nationally parachuted in, very inadequately thought out programme managed from the centre, which I think carries huge connotations of stigma. Would you want to go and use a service where you were designated a troubled family? And I probably should have been, but you know, I wasn't, and I certainly wouldn't want to use one. And I think that's another opportunity for getting in quickly and showing what you're doing. And I know from all the centres I've ever been in that they work with all of these families who are now called troubled. But Action for Children and where I'm working in East London don't call them troubled. They just get on and meet the needs. So we've said enough about PRB. I do think there are some hassles around the endless emphasis on other bits of the system, and adoption, which we used to call getting them off the rates, is, I think, something to be watched. It will be an issue in some of your boroughs where you've got to push towards adoption, removing children from any family who looks remotely questionable, and farming them out to what looks like a nice middle-class family, and takes the emphasis off worrying about how to do family support better. Huge problems around research methodology in terms of understanding outcome, whose study, if government commissions it, obviously it's going to be their definition of outcome. Couldn't agree more with what June said this morning about the overlap between outcome and output, so let's not talk about that. But most importantly, timescales are crucial with time-limited intervention. The fantasy that you're going to double your IQ by spending a fortnight in a Shawstock centre, or that one Webster Stratton will alter your parenting behaviour forever is bonkers. But I want to ensure I get to my last slide. I am quite confident that in 12-week slabs of service, even if it's only a Webster Stratton, you can demonstrate what the grown-ups in government, in big inverted commas, would call an outcome. You need to be very careful about ethical issues and make sure that you take service users with you so that their views, which are a vital part of the outcomes, are captured. I think it's crucial to capture family support outcomes because it's the most politicised and Cinderella bit of the service, and yet it holds everything else together. Everything people spoke about with engagement, access, is essentially about family support, and I do believe that very, very strongly for families' complex needs. It can minimise stigma very successfully. Talk to Action for Children to find out how to do that and read their stuff, because I'm not paid by them any longer, I should hasten to add. But I've seen miracles achieved with very complex groups, some very much more, should we call them needy families, to be tactful, who might easily be hoovered up by Louise Casey, sitting alongside and enjoying the family support provision of those who think they're the sharp-elbowed middle class. Family support outcomes obviously help you work with your other agency partners, and it can build research literacy by demystifying for staff on the front line the concept of what works for them. Interim outcomes are the key to it. They receive very little attention. You'll find very little in the research literature on interim outcomes because the expectation is that you will either stay safe, be healthy, the bonkers outcome framework. But in terms of preventive work, demonstrably linear solutions, as we all know, are very rare, and it's hard to evidence that something's been prevented. But you can capture what we call tiny steps on the way. And those themselves, as Naomi was saying earlier, may well stop something worse from happening, although in themselves they're undramatic. And we developed a possible approach in this borough designed to be all of those things and to be virtually nil cost. It's evidence-based in the sense that it incorporates research instruments already available and validated, and it's capable of informing practice and policy development in the short, not the long term. And what we've done, before I shut up and let a more self-controlled and younger person take the stage, is to develop a very straightforward pack which is involved doing it with the workers themselves. We have developed a scoring tool for recording the perceived level of family need allocation. We've done workshops in the borough, and we've come up with sets of indicators generated by the staff themselves of whether it's a 1 to 4 in terms of the complexity of need. Very easy to do and quite a useful exercise for managers. And then similarly developed a scoring tool for the workers, measuring outcomes at a specified period, including 12 weeks when they finish the magic triple P or whatever. We've tweaked, I don't know whether any of you use the Parenting Daily Hassle Schedule, but we have tweaked what is a DH-produced, very useful instrument for measuring in a very low-key sort of way levels of parental stress. And we know that parental stress is incredibly interlinked with poor outcomes for children and, of course, crucially, for child protection episodes. And we've tweaked their how was it for you, did the earth move type service evaluation forms so that it's capable of capturing the what did you want to get out of it at the beginning and the what did you get out of it at the end. Now, I'm making that all sound incredibly Luddite, straightforward and uncomplex because it is. And I would like to leave you with the last thought, which is you should hang on to your sense of knowledge, skill, being as cynical as you want to be, subject to keeping your job and paying the mortgage, about payment by results, which isn't, of course, going to be any payment at all. The East London Borough are hysterical. I mean, it's not taking the money off you by results pilot. So I continue to be cynical, continue to be very sceptical, and I would personally do my very best to outflank all of the laurels which will be draped around Louise Casey's neck when she has achieved rather less than all of you have, probably in the last fortnight's work. Sorry, I'm on back.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.